Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I've got a great guest in store for you today. I have Kim Addis with me, and she's the president and founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and Journal Engine Software. Author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, and mother of five, Kim has 15 years experience coaching many of North America's most respected leaders. Recognized as an expert in the area of thought mastery, Kim uses her unique philosophy and quirky coaching style to help her clients deal with core issues and shift their thinking in order to yield extraordinary results. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be talking to you today.
I'm happy as well. So let's just dive in. I can't wait to hear all about what you do, and I know our listeners will as well. So let's dive in, fill in some of the gaps from your bio. Tell us a little bit about that journey, how you came to be the founder of this company and leading so many people in coaching, and what sort of led to that. And then tell us about the business today.
Okay, well, maybe I'll do it a little bit backwards. But so I run a coaching company called Frame of Mind Coaching, as you mentioned earlier. And our focus is on coaching the highly driven population, people who want to achieve extraordinary goals, who want to make a positive difference in the world, people who want the most out of life, and also people who are frustrated because something's slowing them down. And so, again, I've been doing this for nearly 16 years. I've got a team of coaches, and I want to kind of rewind to help you understand how I got to this particular place. Years and years and years ago, I used to own a software company, and we used to build simulation-based assessments, and the purpose of those assessments was to help companies make better hiring decisions. So my whole entire life, I was always interested in this one key question: what makes some people succeed at much, much higher levels in comparison to others? Like, so what creates top performers? And so these assessments were designed to help companies make better hiring decisions by separating those people and identifying those people who would be top performers, again, relative to others.
Okay.
And we collected a ton of data. We looked at their intelligence. We looked at their skill sets. We looked at their personality traits. And we started comparing people who are top performers to the data we collected. And we understood one key thing, that it didn't matter what role, it didn't matter what position, it didn't matter what industry, there was one key differentiator of these top performers. And that was, if a person had a higher degree of emotional resilience, they would be more likely to succeed. So that's kind of vague, right? So what is emotional resilience? Emotional resilience specifically is the ability to bounce back from adversity with speed and agility, and I'll throw one more thing in, and leverage the adversity. Do something good with it. Turn it into an advantage.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so fast forward. Built the business, ended up selling it. And right away after I sold it, I got recruited by a coaching company. And it, like a local, quite a prominent coaching company. And their mandate was to help people live extraordinary lives. And I thought, that's for me, right? Like, That's what I want to do with my life. And so I started working for them. And I started to observe, and they hired me as their VP of marketing. And I started to observe how coaching was done. And essentially, they help business owners create business plans and, you know, create like a step-by-step process for everything that needed to be done. There was a call once every 2 weeks, and the coach's job was to hold this person accountable for doing the things they needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, there's something wrong with that picture, because people know what to do, they're just not doing it. So the question is why? And I started to connect the dots, and I realized there's something missing. And that is really closely tied to their degree of emotional resilience. I thought, what if I could get into people's heads and hearts? What if I could understand how they experience adversity? What if I could understand what they believe to be true and how they see the world? And what if I could help them build that mind muscle. They could, that I could help them build their mental toughness and help them really increase their emotional resilience, then I could help them succeed. I don't need to build plans for them. I don't need to hold them accountable. I need to help them get tough, get strong. And so that's when I started Frame of Mind Coaching. And that this company is exclusively designed to help leaders reach their goals by working on building the muscle of their thinking.
Great, because you're right. Most of them probably, they know how to create a plan for themselves. And most of them know whether they're showing up or not showing up. So it's, I found that it's one of the reasons that, I'm more of a trainer versus a coach. And the reason for that is I don't want to do accountability. I feel like they should already know how to do that. Or they should, or they already know the plan at the high level of people that want me to coach them. I'm like, what do you really want to do? I just want to have somebody that I can be accountable to make me do this week. I'm like,
That's not for me, right?
I'm not interested in that, seriously. Right. So it's interesting.
Plus, if you look at like the really hot performers, the last thing they want to do is answer to someone else.
Exactly.
The last thing they want, like, think about you. Do you want to go and do you need someone to answer to? No, you're pretty motivated. You're pretty independent. And there are places where you get stuck. The question is why? Why are you stuck in those places? What is going on with respect to those weird little spots where you get trapped? And that's what I'm interested in.
And what do you find? So two questions I have for you in that. So number one, what would you say are some of the top, like maybe what are the top three things that a lot of people end up getting stuck on? Or have you identified those?
Well, so what we've identified is that, okay, so let me kind of back up. Most coaches look at what people are doing. And then they say, well, okay, so you're doing these things and those things aren't leading you to the results that you want. So you need to be doing other things. Let's create this plan and let's have you doing the right things. Make sense? Total sense, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Except here's the real problem. First we think, then we do. Right? So first we have thoughts that form beliefs, and really those beliefs, whatever we believe to be true, will impact what we do and what we don't do and how we do it and how effective we are. Okay, so the beliefs component is the critical piece. So when you ask me, where do people struggle? That's where they struggle. They struggle because they have beliefs, fundamental core, hidden, deeply hidden beliefs that aren't consistent with their goals. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're an Olympic runner and you're at the starting line and you're a really good runner, but you look beside you and you see these really, really excellent runners and you say, man, I don't stand a chance. That's it. Game's over. You're not going to win. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what you believe to be true, it's not only what you tell yourself, what is going on in your brain that most of the time you're not even aware of, that leads the day. That determines what you do and what you don't do, how hard you try and how hard you don't try. It determines how resourceful you are, what you're able to say, what you're able to not say. Let me give you another example. Earlier this week, a young man reached out to me. He said, I'm interested in becoming a coach and I'm looking for a mentor. And I thought that was really nice. You know, like, okay, so here we are. We're in the middle of COVID. My job is to help people, right? Regardless. So I said, great, let's schedule a time to talk. We got on the phone and I said, tell me about yourself. He happens to be from the Philippines. Literally on this call, we had a Zoom call. There were chickens crowing in the background or whatever the heck they do, right? And so I asked him some questions. I said, well, what do you do now? He said, I'm a teacher. I said, great. And he told me about how he was an introvert with low self-esteem. So he started studying self-help. And I said, well, you're a teacher. Who do you teach? He said, high school students. What do you teach? He said, science and what was the other one? IT. Science and IT, but I don't love those subjects. They're not very meaningful. So what is he telling himself? He's introverted. He has low self-esteem. He doesn't like his subjects. I said, well, what's your relationship like with these students? He goes, well, I don't mingle with them too much. So he has a perfect opportunity to make a massive impact on the lives of people who are right in front of him. But the story in his head, his beliefs are he's introverted, he doesn't like the subjects, and in his mind, this is not the venue for impact. From my perspective, there is no better venue, right?
Right. So
what we see and what we believe to be true will impact how we show up, except we're not always aware.
Great. So when you, so you're now the founder of this group, and I know because I've had one of your other coaches on my podcast as well. So do you have a certification program that your coaches go through? Yeah.
Yes. So here's what's really cool is every single one of our coaches started off by being a client. So they went through our coaching program. They experienced a profound personal shift, personal transformation as a result of coaching. And they said, oh my God, how do I do this for others? And they do it for two reasons. One is to have an impact in the lives of others. But the second reason is when I coach someone else, weirdly enough, I'm strengthening my own emotional resilience. I get tougher. I remember all the concepts, the principles, the ideology that keeps my mind, my emotions in a strong place.
My other question that I have for you, which I think is interesting. So you said that you worked with a software company and they did this testing and you found out that, you know, there was one thing that all these different people had in common. So this is obviously some people just have it, or maybe their life experiences have had led them to develop it in a way. So do you believe that that's something that can be developed in everyone?
I believe that some people are born with a higher level of emotional resilience. Like it's genetic, right? Uh-huh. It's in their DNA. They were born around it. They were influenced by people in their world who toughened them up, like in a loving way, right? Who provided the support and the nurturing to help them see the world in a way where there's possibility as opposed to impossibility. Yes, I think some people are more naturally inclined. However, I 100% believe that emotional resilience is something that can be built. It's kind of like building your abs. Some people have better abs than others just by their nature, right? Just through their DNA. But everyone can go to the gym and build their abs. It's the same concept, except, and actually similarly to the gym, you can't go to the gym for a week and build your abs and expect to have a lifelong, lifelong strong abs. It's an ongoing process.
Right. That's a good analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your business then today, and how has that shaped your lifestyle today?
Yeah. So my business really is a reflection of me 100%, right? So my business is designed to support everything I want to do, see, hear, smell, taste, experience, my whole entire lifestyle. So there was a time when I really wanted to travel a lot. So I did. I traveled for speaking engagements. There was a time when I wanted to have people come into town for leadership training. So I built that. I want to have flexibility in my schedule and my day. There are days when I'm working 12, 14 hours, and there are days when, you know what? I'll only work half a day. There are times when I want to go to Florida and work from Florida. So I do that. There are so I can create whatever I want. When my kids were younger and I had to go see a teacher or do whatever kid activities, I felt free to do it. So there was a lot of freedom that was built not only in my schedule, but my business is designed to leverage my strengths. And that's really, really key. So mm-hmm. I'm always delegating the things that are not in my wheelhouse. And I am leveraging the things that I can bring to the table, my strengths.
Very good. I think that's important. Delegation is one of the things that I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, for sure.
Right. And for me, I don't have trouble delegating. My goal in life is to find always people who can come to the table who are better than me and who can do the things that I don't want to do and, aren't really easy for me to do. Like, let someone else do it.
Right. Absolutely. So what have you identified then for yourself as two of your greater skill sets that have really helped you in this journey?
So I have discovered, like, over the course of my careers, one is I'm a very, very, very strong coach. One, why? Because I can see very quickly the patterns that people exhibit in their thinking, in their beliefs, in their behaviors. And I am able to draw it out of someone very quickly. Like I move someone from one point to another with a great amount of speed. And I work with leaders. They like speed. So speed is my specialty. Also, I'm very direct in a way that is also kind. It's hard to be direct and kind at the same time, right?
But it is.
I have that blend. So on the coaching side, I'm very strong. I'm also a strong teacher. So I have the ability to teach other people how to coach and show them a variety of approaches that will lead them to the results thereafter. Okay, so coaching, teaching, and, you know, my favorite thing is kind of connecting with people like you, thinking about different ideas, mm-hmm. thinking about how they fit, coming back to the table, coming back to the company and taking what I learn, taking what I hear, adapting it and making it work internally. So I'm big on ideas. I'm an idea person.
That's awesome. So let's talk about great accomplishments. What's something that is a standout for you that you feel like, wow, like that has a lot of significant meaning for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I got married young. I had two kids, got divorced, got remarried to a gentleman who had three kids and he had them full time. So we blended this family and had five kids under one roof. And wow. I think hands down, that is probably my greatest accomplishment, being a mom, a stepmom, and raising these five kids. It's really, really interesting to put, you know, these people together under one roof mm-hmm. and watch them grow up and develop and mature together and become friends and have tension sometimes and, you know, kind of build a life together with a common set of values. Undeniably, that is my greatest accomplishment.
That's pretty awesome. And that's no easy feat right there, right?
No, it's not. And now with things going on in the world, we've got my kids are older, but we've got three back home. We had five a few weeks ago, all under the same roof. And it's just amazing to see just how far everybody's come and how well they get along and how connected they are. It's just unreal.
You know, that has been probably one of the that I've seen happen during this quarantine situation is how many older kids are like, if I'm going to have to be quarantined, I might as well go back home. Like there's been a ton of my friends who have kids in their 20s and even in their 30s. And even some of their kids are like, I'm just gonna, if we're going to be stuck in and we're going to do this and I'm coming to your place with even their own children and we're just going to all quarantine there. It's just been, for a lot of my friends, that's just been a huge blessing because they just don't spend that much time every day with their older children.
Right.
And so it's been kind of cool.
It's been very cool. And even, you know, like I live in a house. I usually have a house cleaner who comes to the house. Well, she's not coming by anymore.
I know.
Guess what happens on Saturday? It's cleaning day. And everybody takes a corner of the house and we, you know, do it for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it takes in the morning. And it's amazing to see everybody kind of come in and work as a team and get this done and the sense of pride that happens when the house is clean. It's a small thing, but you know, when you have common goals and you're working together as a team, it makes a massive difference in a family environment.
Yep. And that is that's one of the things that we've done here is Saturday is our cleaning day and everybody just kind of pulls together. And now we've kind of gotten into our routine of who does what the best, you know, like what is the one thing you enjoy doing? And everybody just says, I'm taking this, I'm doing this, and off they go and it's done. And because I've had a cleaning crew here, you know, in this house and in my previous house for 25 years. Like I really sat down and thought, when is the last time I really mopped a floor? And exactly. I know it sounds ridiculous. I know it even sounds ridiculous coming off of my lips, but you do learn to delegate and I can be much more valuable not cleaning my house and mopping a floor. So I just haven't done it in a long time. And here we are going, okay, I was like, I don't even know where is our mop? Like I was so lost.
Right.
But we managed and it has been fun to see it come together. Now we're actually getting quicker at it. So it's fun.
There you go. That's right.
All right. So let's talk about a challenge then. Something that you went through that was painful and then are difficult, and then how you worked through that.
Oh my goodness. So many challenges. I mean, you grow a business and you make all kinds of mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. Like so many mistakes, so many investment mistakes. You know, even when was it? Maybe a year and a half ago, I decided to invest in this massive marketing idea to go to this conference to reach VPs of HR from massive, massive companies. The investment was, you don't even want to know, like exorbitant, like multiple thousands of dollars. Like, you know, that amount could be worth, I don't know, a salary and a half, put it like that.
Okay. Okay?
A lot of money. Well, so we were excited to go. I thought, okay, this is going to be a shortcut. We're going to get in. We're going to meet the right players. We're going to, you know, it's going to be our foot in the door to companies that are really, really hard to get into. And I'm talking about like multi-billion dollar companies.
Yep.
We went in, we were prepared. We had these amazing meetings. People were super interested, and we left the meeting and nothing happened. Nothing. We followed up like crazy. We had follow-up calls. They said, send us proposals. We sent proposals left, right, and center. Nothing, like zero materialized. So, you know, how many times we, in our exuberance and enthusiasm, tried an idea that fell flat? Oh boy, I've been doing this for nearly 16 years. Lots of times, lots of times. And so, you know, you would think that as we keep going, we make smarter decisions. Not necessarily.
Right, because they're just different ones. I mean,
different ones, yeah.
And you did say one thing, though, that I was like struck. And it's still like the one thing I want everybody to take away from that is everybody looks in and sees your successes, because that's what everybody always talks about, right? We talk about, oh, she's ran three companies. Oh, she was successful with that. And she sold that company. And then she took that money and then she did this. Yeah. Along the way, nobody talks about the failure after failure, because that's not, it's not interesting or sexy or whatever. And so, but I promise you, every successful person has had them. And I think that's important for the listeners to hear. But there was one little thing that you said that I know I found for myself, that when I get into the most trouble is when I try to take a shortcut to just doing the work that I know needs to be done, or the way that I know I could do it. And I go, well, if we could do this, and it makes perfect sense at the time, right? If we could do this, and this would be a shortcut to this, and then we wouldn't have to do this, this would be amazing. And I find that I'm careful to catch myself when those words are formulating out of my mouth and out of my thinking, because usually there is no easy pill. There is no pill to take to lose a bunch of weight. You've got to, you know, eat healthy and exercise. I mean, and we want to sometimes do that in business too. And then people try to sell us on that in business. There's people out there going, oh, this is going to make it easy. This, we can get you this. And, and so when you find yourself hearing that, it sounds too good to be true. It probably is. And, oh, this would make my life so much easier than having to just dig in and do the work. It's generally two little red flags I've seen.
Well, and it's interesting, right? Like, you're 100% right. Usually when you're trying to take a shortcut, like your example of weight loss was 100% right. You know, there is no shortcut for weight loss. You got to do the time and you got to kind of do the work. In this case, like, it just made so much sense. Like, all of the right people are going to be in the room at the right time. But what I discovered was that a lot of those people weren't decision makers. And so, yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't know what doing the work means, right? I thought I was doing the work. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I just thought it was an efficient way of getting that done. But it, you know, I mean, you know, part of running a business is not always having the answers, not always knowing, trying things and failing, trial and error, right? You try different things and they work, and then you try different things and then they don't work. And, you know, your job is to go back to the things that work and improve those things and keep trying more things.
Yep.
And also, I've discovered, you know, the things that used to work don't necessarily work anymore. Right.
So 100%. I've discovered that. I mean, I built this business 25 years ago, and the way I built it, And so it's really interesting for me. So the way I built it then is obviously not the way you would build it today. I mean, we didn't even at the very beginning of it, I didn't even have a computer at the very beginning. Right. You know, we still did all of our contracts on typewriters.
Right.
And but then very quickly after that, we did. But like, we certainly didn't have any social media. We certainly right. didn't have all the technology tools that we have today. And yet I find that some of those core principles. So it's not getting trapped in, oh, well, we used to do it this way. You know what I mean? You got to be open to like learning new things and trying new things. But at the same time, a lot of people today just want to go post something online and pray that somebody's going to find it and that that's going to do it. And in reality, yeah, there are lots of great technology, but you still need to have some basic core principles and understanding of what makes for a successful business.
100%. You're right. And, you know, what I find, you know, one of those core fundamental principles is connect with people. Mm-hmm. Talk to people. So many people are afraid to pick up the phone. It's okay to have a conversation, right? It's okay to do that.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about what working from your happy place means to you. I think I have a pretty good idea of that, but let's hear it.
For me, it's I'm happiest when I'm focused on one thing at a time. So like right now I'm on this podcast with you and there is nothing else. There are no kids. There are no emails. There are no distractions. Like it's just you and me. Right. And so then I'm happy. I'm completely focused. By the same token, I'm happy when I'm with my kids and nothing pulls me away from that. So you know, for me, being happy is being able to be in one mental space at a time. You know, if I'm having dinner, I'm having dinner with my family. If I'm working on an article, then that's what I'm doing. No distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I've learned to create pockets of time where I can focus, and that creates happy. What's not happy is when I feel pulled, I feel torn, I feel like I can't focus on one thing. I'm trying to work on one thing and something else is calling me, either emotionally or actually physically, right? All those interruptions.
Now, one of the things that you talked about in our pre-interview, and we kind of just sort of glossed right over, and I think it's probably an important thing for you, but you talked about journaling and how journaling really got you through some different times and how you're still an avid journaler today. Do you want to speak to that briefly?
Yeah. So ever since I was young, I had a diary, right? And I always journaled. But when I first started my coaching company, one of the things I wanted to do is really get into the heads. Like, how do people think? And how does their thinking impact their outcomes? And I thought, what would it be like if I could actually read their journals, right? What if I had insight at that level? And so when I first began my coaching company, I created an online journaling system to get people to journal privately, but with me. So I would give them a question to journal about. They would journal, and then the journal would come back to me in such a way where I could ask more questions, go deeper, make comments, provide some reflections, show them some of the patterns that they were exhibiting that maybe they didn't notice.
Mm-hmm.
And this became such a crucial part of my business and the way we operate. It's the way that we gather data and really understand how our clients are wired. So I continue to journal today, but journaling is really the centerpiece of our business. So much so that we built a piece of software that we now license out to other coaches, consultants, online entrepreneurs, trainers, etc., so that they can have an interactive experience with their clients and collect that really critical data that helps them make a massive difference in the lives of their clients.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great. So what advice would you give to others wanting to start their own business, we'll talk about what advice would you give to others that are really just wanting to be an entrepreneur, wanting to sort of do something different, be able to work from that happy place. So we'll start with that. And then I'm going to ask you a second question on that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people hesitate to start their own business because they have a whole bunch of beliefs. Again, I'm going back to that thing that says, I cannot do it. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough experience. I don't know how to do accounting. I don't know how to do all the pieces. How do I recruit the right people? I can't afford it. On and on and on and on. Right? Long list of reasons why not. And what I would recommend to anyone who's listening, who's thinking about starting a business, is to identify all the why nots. Right? Write a list down and understand that those are beliefs. And all of those beliefs, each and every one of them, are beliefs that you've not only embraced, but to some degree invented, right? We invent that. And what I encourage you to do is start to challenge those beliefs. Is it true that there's no money available for me? Is it true that I need to know accounting in order to run a business? Is it true that I don't have access to the critical resources I need? So start challenging each and every one of those beliefs. And even as you are running a company, so maybe you're not a startup, maybe you've been doing this for a while and you're hitting a wall, ask yourself, what do I believe to be true about this person, this problem, this situation, this customer, whatever? What do I believe to be true that's causing me to feel frustrated or stuck? And when you list those beliefs and start to challenge them, you start to find opportunities open up, ones that you never saw possible, and things become easier.
Great. So in closing, what new things or what do you have going on that you think people might benefit from? And then please tell our audience how they can find you, how they can connect with you.
So we have this very new and interesting thing that we started. It was a bit of a like a total fluke, actually, because I have been traveling so much for the past, 5 years that I haven't been able to provide this service. But now that I'm not traveling, now that I'm, you know, quarantined and at home, I decided to roll out a group coaching experience with me. So usually clients come in and I assign them to one of my coaches. But now I have decided to do the coaching myself. I mean, my coaches coach too, and they're all awesome. But this is a group coaching experience where in a group, people are journaling together and sharing their journals. And there's a group call once a month with me. I'm also reading and responding to every single journal. And what I've discovered is that when I coach one person on a coaching call, it's like I'm coaching everybody. It tends to resonate for everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's a very powerful experience, not only to hear what somebody else is going through, but to get that support from everybody else. So it's a group coaching with Kim. Now, here's the key. So we decided to charge $250 per month. But because of COVID, we decided to start it off at $25, not per month, but just $25 for the first 2 months.
Wow.
So, right. Crazy, right?
Yes.
And the idea is you can cancel anytime. So if you want to come in and just, you know, test me out, come on and do it. And, you know, again, you don't have to stay long, but the goal is to deliver so much value, to knock your socks off so much that you stay for years, right? Stay with us for years. And we just launched it in May. We had our first call. It was incredible. And I invite anybody who's interested to come and take a look and test it out. Come and just like experience it.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much, Kim. This has been delightful and you gave lots of pearls of wisdom. I hope that people will go back and listen to it again. I always think that people are oftentimes listening to podcasts while they are doing other things, which is smart. Like, you know, working out or commuting or whatever it is that they're doing. But a lot of times there's just some shows that have great gold nuggets that you need to just go back and sit down when you can make some notes and listen to it again. So I want to encourage our listeners to do that, as well as anyone listening to this podcast today. I hope that you'll subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. That way you don't miss a single episode. And you know what? We love reviews. So if you leave us a review, if you enjoyed the show, I know I'll appreciate it. And so will Kim. So thank you so much, Kim, for giving us your time and wisdom today.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com. And click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.